members. And therefore, we couldn't take final decisions without information. We requested that the necessary documentation be made available so that the members can study the documents and take informed positions. I recall that we approved the recommendations in principle, but now we first have to establish if members have received the documentation timely and have been able to study the documentation to be able to apply their minds and take informed decisions. Honorable Ntapo.
Some of us haven't received those documentation which we requested from the Magistrate Commission, so we might be unable to give an informed decision in that regard, although we had made approval in principle last week, but unfortunately we don't have.
Honorable Lawn.
Chairperson, well, I can't speak on behalf of everybody, but I personally received updated reports from the committee secretary by email on the 13th of October. So unless members' emails are not working or he selectively sends it, I would assume that he sent it to everybody. The 13th, today is the 25th, it's 12 days ago, and I've perused through it, and the deficiencies in the initial reports have, in my respectful view, been addressed in the updated reports.
Let's hear who else hasn't received the documentation. Honorable Pumloan?
I've not received. I assume that they are thick volumes and that they will be in our boxes. No, that's our boxes, but I haven't received them.
Any other member who hasn't?
Chair, if I may, I mean, there's no point, we don't want to even go there to say that why do some of us receive it and others don't. Can we possibly arrange that we all now during this meeting receive hard copies and possibly, if necessary, sign for them? And then decide on when we will then, after the approval in principle, reconvene to finalise this matter.
Honourable Horn, that's very constructive. You know, we also have mailing boxes. It may be helpful when we deal with very important issues like this, that we don't only rely on this mechanical digital communication, that we receive hard copies, and then so that members can study this, because our committee has a lot of documentation to handle. Honorable Bredenberg.
Well, I agree with the proposal by the Honourable Horn, and let's solve the problem. I have the email open in front of me now that we received from the committee assistant, and it was in fact sent to all of us. All the MPs are on on the list. All members of this committee are on the list. But strange that, you know, some of us got it, some of us didn't.
Honourable Maila?
I agree with the proposal by Honourable Horn.
Yes, I think we must also save Parliament's time and not deal with academic matters. Here is the real issue before us, that honourable members must have received the documentation, studied it, applied their mind, because we have to make serious decisions. And the proposal is that we members are given hard copies, study them timeously, apply their minds, so that we don't take decisions that we are going to regret later. So the proposal has been seconded that we postpone this matter. Any opposition to that, Honourable Machak?
A second proposal of postponing the matter, seeing that the members don't have enough documentation to finalize it.
The proposal is doubly seconded, so it's carried.
Can you therefore summarize the process as to where we are in terms of the process, Chairperson?
We will schedule the matter for Wednesday next week, and now I want to request that the onus be on each and every member of the committee to make sure that they get the hard copies, study them on time, so that when we come here, everybody has applied their mind fully, so that we take informed decisions. And honourable members, I want to thank you for your cooperation. Honourable Bredenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Might I suggest that, that we all just check on the list that we found, that all our email addresses are up to date, so that we can avoid this kind of thing in the future.
You know, I'm not inclined to act like a school prefect. I think the honourable members know their responsibilities and they will carry out those responsibilities. Honourable members, there is a matter that was before us. That was the matter relating to an inquiry into the fitness or otherwise. Before that, we have a co-opted member who has joined us, Honourable Ngobo. Honourable Ngobo, welcome. There was an issue referred to us by the office of the Speaker relating to the fitness or otherwise of the public protector to hold office, and also the issue of misconduct of the deputy public protector And I indicated that this matter, if it comes before this committee, I would recuse myself, and I had not studied the document, and I studied the document. I have come to the conclusion that there's no basis for me to recuse myself, so I'm going to chair this meeting, and so we are going to proceed with the two matters. We'll take them one by one, and we'll start with the question of the public protector. And I want to believe that members have studied the documents, because on the first occasion we dealt with the appropriateness or otherwise of the forum to deal with the matter, and the committee decided that it is the correct forum to deal with the matter. And after applying my mind to the documentation, I agree with the committee that this is the committee that must deal with the matter. So the matter is properly before this committee. So I open the discussion on the matter. Honorable
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you give us some sort of indication of what format the process will follow? Some indication on the format that the process will follow? What process are we going to be following?
I want to assume that each and everyone has read the referral, and we have to assess the content of that referral and see whether the referral makes substance, and because if it doesn't make substance, then we take the decision. So it's really whether or not the referral has substance.
In that case, Chair, I'd like to suggest that that the committee considers calling witnesses in the matter, as we're entitled to do. I would like to suggest that we consider calling witnesses, as we're entitled to do. I don't think that we can dispose of this matter just on the basis of the referral. I hold the view that we should hear the complainant in the matter orally, should call him as a witness, that we should hear the public protector's views on the matter, and other witnesses if necessary.
I don't think that we should put the horse, cut before the horse. We must hear what members are saying. You can't just say you are calling witnesses to do what. We must hear what the members who have studied the documents are saying about the referral itself. And also taking into account the rules of Parliament.
The rules in fact allow us to call witnesses, and that's why I'm suggesting that we do so.
Honourable Horn.
Yes, Chair. Well, it seems to me you say we shouldn't put the horse before the cart, but it would seem we then, as they would say, back to square one. What we sit with as a committee is a referral from the Speaker's office. And in the cover letter, it says it's referred to us for consideration and reporting. That's the exact words used, and then it also refers in specific words to the request from the Honourable Steenhuisen for the institution of removal proceedings in terms of his letter, both Rule 337B, and then the Public Protectors Act and the Constitution. So respectfully, Chair, also taking into consideration the deliberations we had as a committee when the majority decided that this is the correct forum to deal with the proceedings. We are now at a point where we sit with a referral from the Speaker to deal with the matter. Last time, we decided that this committee is the appropriate forum. Members went as far as to say that despite our condensed program, we can sit on Fridays, Saturdays and Mondays. So to take us back now to say that we must now again look at the request for a process to see whether their substance is not assisting the process. I believe I will not be the only one saying that this gives one a bit of a sense of deja vu, in the sense that this is exactly the manner in which ultimately the Public Protectors Report on the Nkandla issue was dealt with, which basically boiled down to a make-believe process in dealing with the matter. I want to remind this committee that in that specific instance, the highest court of this land ultimately found Parliament hopelessly wanting in dealing with the matter, finding specifically that Parliament failed to exercise its constitutional duties. So with all due respect, Chair, we cannot go back now to say now we want to, just on the basis or the contents of the letter requesting for a process, dispose of this matter. We took a decision as a committee that we will deal with the matter. What we are now to decide is the proper process. And I reiterate, to just deal with it on the basis of the letter which initiated the process will expose us hopelessly to another finding that we did not deal with this in a proper manner.
Honourable Horn, you will remember that I'm not the committee, I'm the chairperson of the committee. So I'm going to listen to what the members are saying, but you are right to say on that day we settled the issue of the correctness or otherwise of the forum. And the committee decided that we are the correct forum, so we are competent to deal with the matter, and so we are going to deal with the matter. Honourable Sart.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, may I just at the outset say that I might need to leave because I'm also on the Finance Committee with the budget lockup. So if I do need to leave, please, my apologies for that.
Will be well excused.
Chair, when we sat previously, it's very important that we need to remember the discussion that we had. And at all times it was a discussion as to which was the appropriate committee to deal with the inquiry. You remember that we suggested an ad hoc committee for the inquiry. There was then a caucus, there was then a vote and a it was then decided by majority that this committee will conduct the inquiry. So I think, Chair, it's very important for us to understand that at this stage, as far as my understanding is, it is now for us to decide on what that inquiry is going to entail, how we're going to embark upon that in terms of our rules. Because for me, otherwise, one's got to have another vote as to undo that previous decision, which was minuted, which was widely reported in the media, that the Justice Committee will undertake the inquiry, having discussed the issue of sitting on extra days, Fridays, so that we could embark on an inquiry. So my clear understanding is that we now need to engage around what will be the format of that inquiry, and I'll be led in that regard. The rules make provision for that, but it's a very clear understanding. There was a vote taken, and the words were used at all times, that either an ad hoc committee or this committee will conduct the inquiry on the basis of the letter referred to us. So I'm very clear on that aspect. It's now, the decision was taken, the forum would be for the inquiry. Thank you, Chair.
My reading of the situation and the documentation is that we can't start from the premise that we are holding an inquiry. The committee has to deal with matters step by step. And the first step would be to look at the rules of Parliament and say whether there is a need for an inquiry. And this committee must address that issue. So I will call on the second speaker, Honorable Majaki, to address the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what's important, and some of the members have actually indicated so, is that today we need to actually just decide on process as to how do we move forward with the matter. Without really going all over talking about court outcomes of cases or matters that were never brought before the committee. Honorable Swart says, when we voted for the committee to agree that we are the right forum to conduct an inquiry on the matter. Just to correct that, when we went out to actually have our study group, it was on the basis of the fact that we were questioning as to whether this is the right forum to deal with the matter. And we then therefore decided it is the right forum to deal with the matter. Not that this is the right forum to deal with the inquiry. This is not what we put forward. We still have to enter into that process now to ask ourselves such questions. But we have agreed when we voted that we will consider, we are the right forum to consider that matter, taking into consideration that as an oversight committee, the public protector reports to this committee. So when there's something that is about the public protector and is brought before us, we cannot actually just say we are not the right forum and leave it there. We need to look into it. So for now, what is important is us looking into the matter so that we give the matter direction. That's what needs to happen now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Third, uppermost in our minds are the rules of Parliament that are applicable, so we must deal with the matter bearing in mind the rules applicable. Honorable Naila.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I will agree with Honorable Majaki that what we agreed on was that the committee is the right forum to deal with the matter. And I will also agree with you, Chair, that we can't put the cart before the horse. Now is the time, now that the matter is before us. It's now the time to look into the matter, and decide which course of action to take. We can't just start by saying there is an inquiry. Is there any basis for us to consider that there be an inquiry? That is where we start. I think that should be the understanding of the committee, that this is here we start, and then we'll take the matter forward. Thank you very much.
Honorable Maila, you have said what I said in other words. The need, the first question, is there a need and a basis for an inquiry? So before we are all over, that's the question that we must address. Honorable Bredenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at the referral from the Speaker, it's quite clear that the Speaker had the intention that the matter should be referred to the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services for consideration and report, which I would suggest that we deal with the matter. In terms of Section 167 of the rules, we have, or Rule 167 of the rules of the National Assembly, this committee has the right to summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce documents. And Section 194 suggests that the public protector can be removed on the grounds of incompetence, misconduct, and incapacity. Those are serious issues, those are serious allegations, and that is what Mr. Steenhuisen is alleging in his letter. And so if we're going to determine the way forward today, then I would urge you to give serious consideration to the rules and to the Constitution, and to bear in mind that we cannot dispose of this matter. We cannot dispose of the matter even by deciding on whether or not there is a matter to pursue without hearing evidence.
I heard Honorable Maile says there must be a basis for action. So you haven't addressed the question of the basis for action. Honorable Mwabe.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to members. Chair, my hand was for the clarity because I was a little bit confused. I know it's my sin because in the last meeting I was absent. But my confusion was around whether last time was the discussion was about the forum to hear the matter or to address the question whether we need the inquiry. Now, as from the discussions of my colleagues, it appears that last time it was for the forum, which forum, to listen to the matter. And listening to you, Chairperson, I think we are wasting time in terms of not addressing the question that we've raised, whether as a first move we need the inquiry. Whether the question is positive or the answer is positive or negative, but it will give us a clear way forward. Because if the majority says, yes, we need the inquiry, the following step would then be the procedures to follow and who to ask to appear. Likewise, if the majority says no, we do not need the inquiry, then we'll be coming to the end of the matter and respond and report to the Speaker accordingly. So I think we are delaying in terms of addressing the specific question. I would believe that if we take that first question, we'll have all kinds of way forward, whatever the outcome. Because my party is really interested on that particular question you've asked, because it will give us the way forward in all forms. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mwabe, I think you compliment what Honorable Maile is saying. There must be a need and a basis. If there is a need, there can be a need, but and be no basis. So we must deal with those two.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Look, the... Sorry, I noted.
area of concern that Honorable Mwabe is raising, I think, is partly addressed in the sense that the appropriateness of the forum to look into the matter has long been passed. That's the first thing. And the committee duly voted for that. And those who held a different view accepted with humility their defeat and fate. That's the first thing. As to whether should we now, at this point in time, consider the question, is there a case to be answered? It's neither here nor there, because that should have been a point of first consideration by the meeting last time when the appropriateness of this forum was considered. So that then means the question by Honorable Maile is misplaced and should therefore be answered to with utmost respect, because this is not really about his views and opinions. It's about whether this committee should do the right thing. And if we're to do the right thing, is to consider what Honorable Breitenbach proposes, which in this case is that the committee must lay out on the basis of both the act which establishes the Office of the Public Protector as well as the Constitution, and certainly on the basis of the rules of Parliament, lay out a roadmap to deal with this matter, and the detail of which perhaps the Office of the Chair has prepared the roadmap. We should not be thrown into the discussions about whether there is a case to answer or not. And as I'm saying, and I want to make this point clear, whether there is a case to answer or not should have been a question of first consideration, and for which the meeting did not do that. And because the intention on the part was to push this matter under the carpet and to deal with it as if it's a matter which does not deserve some consideration. So can we, with sincerity and the ability of honorable members, proceed as proposed by Honorable Breitenbach and other members who said, at this point in time, we need to develop and lay out a roadmap towards the actual inquiry itself. Thank you so much.
Honorable Matthias, the Constitution and the rules are of general application. We can only just on the basis of the existence of the Constitution and the rules and say we create a roadmap. We must address the questions that Honorable Maila and Matwabe raised, the need and the basis.
much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable colleagues and media. Chairperson, when we met for the first time, we received this referral from the Speaker. And resolve that we are going to look into this referral. We didn't agree into the holding of an inquiry. Honorable members are saying media is saying we have resolved to look into inquiry and so forth. We never resolved to form an inquiry into the matter. But what I'm saying is that I'm surprised because what especially honorable members from the DA, they appear to be having more information regarding this issue because they are putting, instead they are putting the cart before the horse. Because they just start by saying, let's call witnesses. I think they have something more which they know, which this committee doesn't know. But what I know is that as Portfolio Committee on Justice, we have resolved that we look into the matter, as Honorable Majak has alluded to earlier on, and take the necessary action after we shall have looked into that. Not as they put it. So I don't think there is any need to hold an inquiry in this matter. There is no substance, there is nothing. It's just mere politicking, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable members, we must also have regard to the referral. The referral says to consider and report. And consider means looking into the matter. So thank you, Honorable Mutabo, for reminding us that.
Honorable Chair, I think what's important first, which I think the DA members will probably assist us, is to show some kind of prima facie evidence that at least we need to consider this, and that then we give an answer. And we come up with the question of a decision on the matter. I think before we talk about even calling witnesses and so on, because it seems to me that at least this letter comes from the DA, Chief Whip, and that the DA members here are aware of exactly the issues. Now we're dealing with a very, very important thing. We're dealing with a public protector, you may remember, one that the process of appointing a public protector just a year ago, the process was long, thorough, and everybody was involved. And now, after a year, the Constitution says that the removal of a public protector must be at least on the grounds of misconduct, incapacity, or incompetence. They need to say, we need to make this inquiry, there's prima facie evidence. And then we say, there's a cause to look into. Then we decide. And after we have done that, then that exercise, then we are able to answer whether, in fact, we need to look into that. And I think they can assist us in that, rather than go up and down and before we take a decision on the matter. And I think give them a chance to put the case, this is the position, and we look at that. Thank you very much.
Honorable Swartz.
Chair, without belaboring the issue, I just want to remind us, and it's very easy to ascertain what the exact decision was at the last meeting because it is on record, it's been taped. And so maybe we need to just take a step back and find out exactly what was the resolution. Because I've got it very clear that the decision was that this committee, as opposed to an ad hoc committee, will conduct the inquiry. And that is on record, Chair. It's on tape. So let's establish that as a fact. Because why else would the chief whip of the ANC criticize the members of this committee for saying you are going to have an inquiry, you don't have the party support? That would be the only reason. Had the resolution merely been to say we're going to consider this letter and that, there would have been no objection from the chief whip of the ANC. So I think, Chair, it's very important to establish, for point of process, what was the exact decision at that committee. Because if it was, as I suggest it is, and it is on record, then before this committee continues, you're going to have to undo that decision. You're going to have to revoke it, possibly. But in my mind, that was the only reason why there was an outcry from the chief whip of the ANC and other members of the ANC. It was because this committee decided that it was the committee that was going to conduct an inquiry. Had it merely been to say we're going to consider the matter, there would have been no outcry. And I think, Chair, maybe we need to just look at the tapes. We could adjourn the meeting and just get clarity on that issue. Thank you, Chair.
I am guided by the Constitution and the rules of Parliament, not by what anybody outside this committee said. And as when I summarized the meeting, I said we were considering the question whether or not this is the appropriate forum, and the vote was on the correctness or otherwise of the forum and not any other issue. And that issue of the forum has been settled. And that having been settled, it means we must now operate on the basis of the referral. The referral says consider the matter and report back to the speaker. So now we are considering the matter, in to borrow this simple English, we are looking into the matter. So there's no need to adjourn the meeting and do any other thing. We are now considering the matter as the competent forum to deal with the matter. Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I refer you again to the letter of the Speaker, and it is clear from the second paragraph thereof that she says that the matter should be referred to the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services for consideration and reporting. So I think we agree on that. Everyone's got that letter, and that's what it says. So it's for consideration and reporting. That's an instruction. It's one that we have to follow. It implies that we must deal with this matter in a rational fashion, on the merits. It cannot imply anything else. And again, I refer you to the Honourable Horne's discussion on the Nkandla judgment. It definitely and must imply that we deal with the matter in a rational fashion on the merits. We cannot decide on the merits of a complaint on the basis of a letter. The letter is what starts the process. It isn't the process. The process must be decided upon in a rational fashion, and again, it can't be decided as a loose. The complaint in itself cannot be decided on a loose standing, ad hoc, irrational way. It must be implicit in the Speaker's instruction that we must follow a rational process. And that would imply that we at least hear the complainant in the matter, give him an audience, and hear his views. And it would imply equally that we hear the public protector, give her an audience, and hear her views. That would be the very least that would qualify as a rational process. to hear it on the basis of to try and decide this matter for bearing in mind what the Honourable Matapu had to say, to try and shut this matter down, because that's what you're trying to do. To try and shut this matter down on the basis of deciding whether there's a complaint made out in the letter or not is irrational. It cannot be done. There's no process in the world where that should be considered to be rational. And again, I warn the members of the Inkonda judgment. And we do not want to be found wanting again and be found in dereliction of our duties again. Nobody enjoyed it the first time round. I certainly don't want to be there again. There's a body of public opinion and evidence that supports this letter of the Chief Whip. If anybody in this committee says they're unaware of it, then they're living under a rock. We all know about the court judgments in this particular matter. We all know about the court challenges in the CX and the ABSA matter. We all know that the public protector agreed that she overreached her mandate by instructing this committee to change the constitution and told us how to do it. And on that basis, you want to suggest that it would be okay to deal with this matter on deciding whether or not there's a complaint made out. Mr. Chair, that would be irrational. And if we want to be taken seriously as a committee, the Committee on Justice, we're all lawyers. If we want to be taken seriously, we have to deal with this matter in a rational fashion. And a rational fashion is to supply the very least basis of hearing the complainant and the public protector. And I suggest there would be other witnesses that we want to hear.
Members,
And if the ANC members of the committee want the DA to set out what is out there that supports this particular complaint, I'm very happy to go through the list. Anytime.
We shouldn't use slogans in the committee. And we should listen to one another. The Honourable Maila correctly said the first thing to settle was whether or not there is a basis to hold an inquiry. So I directed that I would want members to address us to that matter, because before we settle that matter, we cannot be applying all kinds of tests to what the matter before us. Can we deal with that? If Honorable Maila and Honorable Kwabe actually guided us on that, on that matter. Honorable Horn?
Thank you, Chair. I firstly want to address the committee on the issue of what, once again, we decided last time around. And I want to say it would have been, in fact, a very strange argument if the argument was that an ad hoc committee must be set up only to decide whether there is a complaint. So we all, last time round, argued at length, and after a vote, it was decided that this committee is the proper forum to deal with the complaint. The only member of the committee who last time round intimated that in their view there is not a case to be made out is the now departed Honourable Bongo, who has been appointed as a minister. The rest of us present at the day only argued as to whether an ad hoc committee or this portfolio committee should embark on the inquiry. That's what the minutes also will reflect, if it's accurate minutes. Be that as it may, Chair, if the feeling is now that we, in the words of the Honourable Mpulwana, is first to establish whether there is a prima facie case or a case to be answered, I completely concur with the Honourable Breitenbach that it will be highly irregular for us to make such a decision only on the basis of the referral letter. To follow such a process will be tantamount to the police or the Hawks receiving a complaint in a matter and then deciding just on the basis of the complaint whether the case must go to court or not. So once again, a friendly but also a very, very stern reminder to this committee. If we are to decide or establish whether here is indeed a case to be answered by the public protector, for us to decide it solely on our interpretation on whether the request constitutes a case to be answered will not be due process. And we, for one, will not rest with such a decision. The only proper manner for us, if we are to decide now whether there is a case to be answered, is, like the Honourable Breitenbach has said, to at least set up a meeting where the Honourable Steenhuisen can come and unpack his complaint, and then have the public protector present, and either immediately thereafter, if she so wishes, or on a further occasion, give her a proper chance to rebut the allegations and the grounds to be unpacked by the Honourable Steenhuisen. Thank you,
Chief. I will make the determination after hearing all members, and I want to repeat. Honourable Maile and Honourable Kwabe correctly, in my view, said the first question to settle is whether or not there is a basis. Not on the basis of what someone else who is not in this meeting is going to tell us if they come to this meeting, but on the basis of what is before us, is there a basis to hold an inquiry? That's what we are considering. Honorable Majaki.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, what we just need to do is to actually look as to whether there's any base for us to actually consider the matter. We keep on going back to the fact that when we voted last time as to whether we should look into this matter, we're just looking as to whether we are the right forum. And these are the words that have been used. I'm sure whoever wants to go and look at the transcripts, they can go look at the transcripts, but we keep on telling members or informing members that it was about considering as to whether we are the right forum to deal with the matter. Honorable Horn talks about ad hoc committee, whether we were considering whether we should actually form an ad hoc committee. There has never been a time since we started dealing with this matter that anybody actually made reference to formation of an ad hoc committee. Maybe these are some of the things that you actually came, preconceived ideas that you came to the committee with as to whether there will be an inquiry, as to whether there will be an ad hoc committee. So your line of discussion shouldn't be such that it wants to actually push you to what you thought should actually happen in this committee. For now, what is important, Chairperson, is for us to just go back to what was actually dealt with in the previous meeting, which was to look at whether we are the right forum to deal with the matter. And maybe to add on what Honorable Mpumlwana has actually indicated, to say that if you look at the matter as presented to this committee by the Democratic Alliance, the matter of the public protector, you immediately have a feeling that this is political. And it is common knowledge that the DA never wanted the public protector right from the beginning. You're calling her a spy and all sorts of names. And of course we are aware of the fact that there was a problem with the matter of the Reserve Bank, where the public protector actually recommended to Parliament that an amendment of the Constitution should be made, which was actually found to be an overreach on the part of the public protector. And the public protector has agreed herself that She has actually made a mistake in that regard. But this is how we are running the country, when people make mistakes. Then for that one mistake, that is an open mistake that has been acknowledged, then you call for a removal from office of a person. Then we would be removing a lot of judges. Cases go in and out of the court. And some are actually found, some of the judgments are actually found not to be accurate. And this is why cases are appealed, and there's review of judgments, and different judgments are actually given on the same matter. So for now, what I'm actually trying to say to you, Comrade Chair and members, is that it does not look like there's substance in this matter. And like I'm saying, it looks like it's a matter that is highly politicized. And somebody was actually saying the chief whip was, I don't know if that's Honorable Swart, the chief whip was actually blaming us for something. The chief whip called this matter a witch hunt. And this was not actually mentioned. The chief whip produced an official press statement that called this matter a witch hunt, which means the chief whip is actually speaking the same language that I'm speaking now. And I want to, Chairperson, maybe because we've actually been making inputs, for you to summarize what we are saying, because we keep on moving in circles. If you listen to what members are saying, we keep on saying the same thing, trying to actually push preconceived ideas that we came to the committee with without actually looking at the real facts of the matter. Thank you, Chairperson.
Again, say that I want to depart always on the decisions of this committee. There was never a decision that there will be an ad hoc committee. So any reference to an ad hoc committee is out of place. We decided that this committee is a competent forum, and now the matter is before this committee. And this committee, Honorable Maila and Mkwabe, who I agree with, said we have to establish the basis, and Honorable Majaki has begun to take us in that direction. Honorable Mpumulwana.
I assume, Honorable Chair, that there is nothing that the members of, I would refer to them as members of the CA for the sake of this particular inquiry, with due respect, because the letter is coming from the chief whip of the DA, and that they are to, for their case to be considered, is whether it's the basis is the letter, and of course with some additions that Honorable Breidenbach has given so far. And on the basis of that, I want to address the question of the substance. As Honorable, first of all, we need to look into...
Sorry, Chair, may I, with your permission, just raise a point of order? And it's not against the Honorable Mpumulwana. It is just, you keep saying us we need to take a decision as to whether we decided on an inquiry or not, because now we're going over to the issue of the merits. So, Chair, you might want to make a ruling on that issue before we start discussing the merits, Chair. I'm not sure if I'm in order with my point of order.
We are not discussing the merits because we are not holding an inquiry. We are establishing whether or not there's a need for an inquiry. And I said Honorable Majaki has begun to deal with that matter of whether or not there is a basis of an inquiry. I understand Honorable Mpumulwana also to be moving in that direction. Thank you for...
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Maybe I used the word inquiry, and I apologize, Honorable Swart, for that. We
are dealing with a very, very important person in the country. A person who is given power by the Constitution, whose name and the whole nation is listening to what we're talking about. It's very, very important to take it very seriously. If we cast a spelling on the public protector, it has to be for a very, very, very good reason. As Honorable Majak has put it, many judges would be removed if their decisions are found by an upper court to be mistakenly taken. Now, it is very, very important to me. There is very little basis for us to consider here. I think I agree with the Honorable Majak, this is purely political. And we need to take it at that level. One of the things that caused a stir is when the public protector addressed the question of the Reserve Bank. It said the Reserve Bank is not serving the interest of the population of South Africa. It is the only Reserve Bank, by the way, that is in the world that is owned by foreigners.
Allow members, even if it's their own opinion,
to expand on the letter and put it and give it a context it never was intended to have. So with all due respect, whilst the freedom of speech of every member must be protected by you, that cannot allow that the letter be supplemented with subjective views. Once again, for us to try and follow a rational and due process in this matter, what we must now do is strictly look whether the allegations made in the letter constitutes grounds for an inquiry. And that's as per the majority feeling and your ruling on the matter.
Honorable Holland, members should be free to give examples of what they think the DA sees as the basis. And I'm going to allow members to give examples, and I'm not going to restrict them.
Chairperson, but if that's the case, what is incumbent upon us is not to put words in the mouth of the Honorable Steenhuisen, but to call him.
No.
Let him then come and explain what he meant.
No, if Honorable Steenhuisen writes to the Speaker as the Chief Whip of the DA, he needs to know what to put before the Speaker. So if he puts facts which are not sufficient to create a basis, that is his problem. This committee is not Honorable Steenhuisen. This committee has its own members, and its members have the right to address the issues. Honorable Mkumlan.
Chair, I just want to confirm then that your ruling is that the complainant in the matter will not be allowed to come and supplement, but members of the committee will be allowed from their subjective point of view to supplement.
I want to say the committee have to establish whether or not there is a basis. And I'm not dealing with supplementary information. The Speaker, on the basis of what she received, she made the determination that we consider the matter, and we consider the matter on the basis on what is before us.
Yes. Are you then with me that the Honourable Mpulwana is then not allowed to put his subjective view of what the DA meant in front of us, and that we are only to deal with the contents of the letter?
Honourable Mpulwana has the right to argue and to make examples, give examples, and as you correctly say, there's freedom of speech. He has the freedom to speak and present matters as he sees them.
Once again then, Chair, a friendly warning. This cannot constitute the due process.
I've made my ruling, Honorable Mpumulana, proceed.
Thank you very much. The letter, is picking on the decision of a judge, saying that the public protector made a mistake. In fact, even before.
Members of the Rules Committee from the City of Johannesburg, we are greatly honored by your presence here. You are really confirming that, you know, we are really one country and with three spheres of government. And we thank you for taking interest in our deliberations as we do in yours. Thank you very much. You are most welcome. Honorable Mpumulana, proceed.
The letter, as I said, is actually blaming the public protector for having to decide on a certain matter and say, this is the way she decided on. And I said,
as I said before, if all the judges can be, because of the decision they have made, we have to find out, scrutinize whether they are fit and proper judges, then there would be no judge that would be left, because almost all of them do make mistakes and they are corrected. Secondly, there seems to be somebody's feet are being pinched here, because the public protector said APSA must pay back the money to the Reserve Bank. And that is one of the reasons, which is political here, that I think we have to consider that. I think the monopoly capital is actually worried about this. However, personally, I might say in conclusion that there is no basis for this committee to consider, even think about considering the fitness of the public protector in this way. And I think that we don't want to put our person we trusted a year ago. And now, just because of somebody believing, or a political party believing that they are not proper, and that we sit down as a committee of parliament, or for parliament to consider that. I think we need to respect our decision, we need to respect the public protector. We can't, because there are some people who don't like the public protector for a particular reason, which I think, I don't want to bring it here, the reason, but there are reasons for that. If the public protector was towing the line of a certain political party, there would be no problem. But because perhaps, thank you, as perhaps in Tulumas on Sela line, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mpumulwane, let's not make reference to other people that are not here.
I want to withdraw that.
Thank you for that argument. And I think self-respect by the committee will earn respect from the public and our guests. So let members of this committee respect themselves to earn the respect by others. Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was fully supportive of the appointment of the public protector. And so I have no axe to grind with her. The issue that I raised with her in this very forum was that I was very deeply disappointed with her findings in this matter under discussion. Now, Chair, we have got more than enough prima facie evidence that is set out here in this letter of complaint. What we need to do, Chair, and it's similar to members that file petitions or private members' bills in Parliament, the process at the very least is to allow the complainant to come and speak. I would suggest that is the first step. Then one can consider on the basis of that where one takes the process further. That is, in my 18 years, that is the process we do. You can at that point decide whether there is merit or not. Chairperson, however, if you wish to then deal with the matter today, which I'm opposed to, but if it is the decision of this committee to engage and decide on this today, then I would submit further that we can't decide on it today. Because, Chair, if you look at the letter, there are attachments. There are 1, 2, 3 attachments. I don't have a copy of those attachments here. And so similar to our approach with the Magistrates Commission, we need to have those attachments before we can consider this matter. Now, I've gone further. I have read the first. I've gone and obtained a copy of the judgment. So I'm apprised. But I'd ask the members here whether they have, of their own volition, got hold of those annexes, because otherwise we cannot attend to this matter today. I don't I did not receive a copy electronically or hard copy of the annexures, which are the judgment, the Absa Bank call report by the public protector, and a copy of the supplementary affidavit. So that's my second argument why we should delay this matter. However, Chair, because there might be a finding against us on that basis as well, and it might be that this matter needs to be finalized, then I would thirdly just say that those members that have read the documentation will know that there's an affidavit by the Minister of Finances, there's an affidavit by the Speaker of this Parliament as well, which is an indictment on the Public Protector. And that gives substance for us merely to have that hearing of the Chief Whip of the DA. I'm not saying we need to make a finding.
On a point of privilege. No, it's in connection with what is being presented now.
Now, continue, Chair. Chair, the Speaker herself in her affidavit sets out her complaints against the Public Protector. This is all part of the documentation we need to consider. Her concerns about the Public Protector's remedial action. Now, whether that substantiates her being a finding against her is a separate issue. We need to have all the documentation, though. We can't just make a finding on the basis of this letter. There are very serious allegations in the Speaker's affidavit and the Minister of Finance affidavit. The last very serious finding that we need to consider is in the judgment itself.
Before you proceed, Honourable, before you proceed, you will remember that we said we want to determine the basis, if there is a basis, to deal with the matter based on the referral. Because the Speaker says to us, here is a referral, consider the matter on the basis of the referral. Now, all the matters that you are referring to, that will come if we decide that there's a basis to deal with the matter. We are not there yet.
May I just address you on that, Chair? Thank you. And that the basis of that is forms part of the letter. Because you see, Chair, the letter has annexures. So for us to consider the letter, you have to read the annexures together with them. They are referred to in page 2. So you can't consider the letter alone. You must refer to the annexures. And that is what... So I won't... The only one other annexure is a copy of the judgment. And that judgment says it was disingenuous of the Public Protector. That judgment says that she basically lied. And so we need to consider that, Chair. And that is referred to as an annexure to the letter. I'm not commenting on the implications of that. I'm just saying for us to take a decision on that, we need to have that documentation before us, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I'm a little bit disappointed the way all of us handled this meeting. This is supposed to be a very easy issue and item to discuss and finalize. I do not want to bring politics. I just want to look at and discuss the matter as it is. You see, I am listening carefully. I do not see where we really, really differ. Because there is a letter of complaint that we should respond to. Obviously, we are not saying we'll be closing doors once we respond to the letter. My own submission, Chair, will be, because the letter of the Honourable Chief Whip of the Democratic Alliance is based on the court judgment, meaning that the matter has been in court, the judges have made their opinion, and we all know that the Public Protector has as well apologized. Now, my own view will be, at this stage, there is no place for the inquiry. We write to the Speaker, we inform her, as well as the complainant in writing. And then say, should the complainant have some some issues to raise further or representations on the same matter, we do exactly what the Honourable Breton perhaps said. We invite, because at the second stage, we invite the Honourable Member to make those presentations to us. And then that would be the only stage where we'd be saying we are finalizing the matter. Because my work, Chairperson, is I do not want this committee to create a loophole that will give us a problem in the future. As we are sitting here, there's a matter in the High Court, of the President of the Republic against the Argonne Public Protector, where he alleges that the Argonne Public Protector acted in the excess of jurisdiction regarding the issues of appointment of a judge. Now, let's assume that the judges will say, no, President, you are correct. Will we say that Tunde Madonsela was an incompetent public protector? Surely we can't, as far as I'm concerned. She has done an outstanding job. But in the performance of her duties, then the error was made. And we must remember here that the matter that we are talking about, I don't want to go to merits as comrades, as one of the members have been questioning us. But the PP was addressing the issue that was there, regarding the issues of the bank, the reserve bank, the SRB, apps and what. Now, in the line of performing duties, when there's an error, if she was the judge, as Honourable Pumblan have said, one would have taken the matter to the appeal, and the appeal or the question court has a different opinion. But that would not have made that particular judge to be incompetent and be removed from the bench. That is a wrong line of reasoning. So even on this one, Chairperson, my proposal is that personally from the NFP side, because we have discussed the matter, we feel that the matter has been discussed, the matter has gone to court, the public protector has seen the mistake. What is the need to destabilize that office? Because the worry check that we have is that, you know, as public representatives, we are the ones who must guard and protect the stability in the country, security of the state, and all those that we are deploying, but from whatever party. Now, it becomes a problem if it should be us who will somehow cause the destabilize some processes or some department of the state. I would say, in conclusion, inasmuch as we have views on this matter, negative views on public protection, but I do not think that we've reached that cross stage that you can say, even if it is the political purpose by removing that person. If we speak of inquiry, there are finances involved. It becomes a problem with us when we create these unnecessary expenditures. That is the position of my party, that at this stage, we do not see the need for the inquiry. However, we write it to our colleague, the Honourable Stacey, so that when he has issues, we invite him, the committee, and take the matter from there. But, Chair, I mean, as speaking now as a rural boy, grew up in Transkei, I will never at any stage defend the shareholders of the West. I want to be on record in saying that again. I know Honourable Swati have said there are also some South Africans who are owning shares there. I would never ever defend a black patron who never cared about the royal people. That is my condition. We all know that when those dividends are declared, nothing goes to Bizana or Wanongo. It's spent somewhere. But in conclusion, Chair, that is my submission. That for now, let's write it to the Honourable Member and see whether it's submissions. But for now, there are no basis for it. Thanks.
I think your analogy, which is the same as the analogy that Honourable Mpunuma made, will guide other speakers that will come later. Honourable Maida?
Thank you very much, Chair. Let the rural boy from Limpopo follow on. on the steps of the rural away from the grandstand. I think, Chair, Honorable Mwabi has now latched into the issue. Is there a need? Is there a basis? That's where we are. Honorable Hall makes reference to the Nkandla. Let me remind this city on what lessons have we learned from the Nkandla. Lesson number one. The Public Protector's remedial action is binding. If there is anybody who is aggrieved by the decision of the Public Protector, that decision can be subjected to review by the court. And if that happens, we are within the law and we are guided by the Constitution. The Public Protector made a ruling, made a remedial action. The remedial action was subjected to review. Is that a sin? The answer is no. Now, where we are now, the issue is the complaint by Mr. Steenhuisen has no basis for us to establish an inquiry. And therefore, this matter must just be thrown out by this committee. Because it has no basis. Actually, there is a lot of politicking with regards to this issue. Remember, Chairperson, the deputy chief whip of the DA, Mr. Waters, the Public Protector has laid a charge against Mr. Waters. And remember, Mr. Waters did not do what he did on his personal capacity as Mr. Waters. He was representing his party. He was actually representing the whip of the DA. Now the whip of the DA is retaliating against the Public Protector. And this is what we can't allow. So the long and short of the story, Chair, is that the matter before us has no basis for the formation or for the establishment of an inquiry. And therefore, we should reply back to the Speaker and say, we have considered this matter, it has no basis, and therefore it must lay to rest. Thank you very much.
Reminder, Honorable Greisenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we follow the advice of Mr. Maina, you will have to, I'm afraid, write to the Speaker and say, we haven't considered the matter, but we believe it has a matter. That is the only conclusion you would have to reach. However, if we want to confine ourselves to the letter of the Honorable Steenhuisen, and again, Mr. Chair, I cannot stress sufficiently the need to act rationally. And rationally doesn't mean act logically. Rationally means something in law, and we all know it. And I cannot stress enough how important it is for this committee to consider this matter rationally and act in a rational fashion. That is what we learned also from the Nkandla judgment, something the Honourable Kamalina prefers not to refer to. But if we want to consider the Public Protector's conduct of the past 10 months, then it's clear from the letter of Mr. Steenhuisen that she grossly overreached her powers in the CX report. She instructed this committee to amend the Constitution.
On a point of order, Chair, in terms of, Honourable Member made mention of Public Protector's conduct. And then in terms of Rule 88, she knows very well she's not supposed to do that.
Reflections upon public office. He knows very well that there's a movement. He knows. That's why it depends on us. So she's trying to answer on that.
That is then my suggestion.
Honorable Breitenbach, it is important that we debate bearing in mind the rules of this parliament. I sustain the objection.
You sustain the objection? I'm asking you if your ruling or ruling that you just made
and I use that term in the most generous possible sense, is that he cannot engage with the contents of the letter.
Who said that?
You did. You just said it.
I say the purpose, the matter before us, is to determine on the basis of the referral,
yes,
whether or not there is a basis for an inquiry. So address me on
then
that.
Then I'm addressing the letter of the Honourable Steenhuisen before I was so rudely interrupted by the objection of the spurious objection of the Honourable Matapa. It is clear from the judgment in the North Gauteng High Court that the public protector has grossly overreached her powers when she recommended that this committee, and recommended means remedial action, which means it's binding, as you well know, because you took it on review, that the constitution be amended and to alter the mandate of the reserve. That she instructed this committee to amend the constitution and how it should be amended, and you took that on review. She has shown by that, by doing that, she has shown such a poor grasp of her own mandate that it's staggering. She has shown a complete and utter lack of understanding of the Constitution, which...
Wait a minute, that's your
question. Let's finish and deal with the matter.
No, it's in connection with what is being presented
I'll deal with the matter.
We need to correct it, otherwise we're not going to finish our business. In accordance with Rule 64, Chapter C, that makes reference to irrelevance in the petition, that you may actually order a member addressing us to stop speaking if that member continues or persists with repetitive arguments. And I'm saying so because for now, what is being quoted is that it doesn't say that got to do with the matter that we all acknowledge that was taken to court based on the recommendation of the public protector that was actually found to have overreached in terms of her mandate. We have agreed on all of that. So we don't need to go into affidavits and all of that, even the judgment itself. What we need to do now is, in terms of the letter that the DA has brought before this committee, are we considering the matter? Is there any base for consideration of that matter? So that we don't actually keep on going up and down with the members of the DA class clutching on straws, trying to use every instrument that they brought with into the committee to try and drive for, push forward their points.
Sustain the point of order.
So are you saying then that I can't engage with the legislature?
I'm still speaking. I'm not debating with you. I sustain the point of order, and I want to refer you as well to the analogy made by Honorable Mpumlwane and Honorable Twane. So when we debate, we must also listen to others so that we take the debate further and not just repeat things for the sake of the gallery. Thank you.
If I had objected to every irrelevant bit of nonsense that has been spoken in this committee in the last hour, I would always be objecting. However, are you suggesting that I cannot engage with the letter of Steenhuisen? Because that's what I'm doing. I don't think the Honourable Philon Mujak has read the letter. Perhaps I can give him my copy. Thank you. Because she clearly hasn't engaged with the content, girls. I'm not discussing the North Gauteng High Court judgment. I'm discussing what's in the letter of Steenhuisen.
My judge has referred you to a rule of this parliament, and correctly so. So if you don't understand the rule, that is your problem.
I understand the rule
perfectly. And I have sustained the objection.
Fine, I'm going on with the letter of Steenhuisen. She has demonstrated no understanding of her mandate, and she has demonstrated no understanding of the Constitution, both of which are essential for her to do her job. She sacrificed her independence and her impartiality when she consulted with the Presidency and the State Security Agency prior to releasing the CS report.
Honorable,
and allowed no one... It's in the letter. Do you want to see it? Do you have
to... Honourable Greatenbach, with due respect to you, we are at the point of establishing whether or not there's a basis. Can you address me on the basis? Or
do you want to establish whether there's a basis or not without engaging the court?
The merits of the matter.
I'm asking you if you want to establish that without engaging the letter. Just answer yes or no.
Yeah. Order, Chair, you see, engaging with the content of the letter and reading the letter are two different things. Honorable Greitenbach has written the letter that we have all read. So, she doesn't have to read to us. Let her engage on the issues in the letter, not to read the letters to us.
Chairperson, but the Honourable Matiahashi, first of all, has not even finished his point of order.
No, it was not a point of order. He was just casting suspicions on me.
No, that was not a point of order. No, Chair, with the greatest of respect to inform the Chair that he's not applying the rules of debate in a uniform and consistent manner is not disrespectful.
That is your view. Honourable Majaki has addressed that issue on the basis of the rules.
And because she's ANC, her view will prevail.
She understands the rules and applies the rules correctly.
So you're now disrespecting us by saying we don't understand the rules.
I'm addressing Honourable Majaki's understanding of the rules, and I'm saying she applies the rules correctly. Honourable Matthias, what else?
Honourable Chair. I don't know whether should I arise as I want to at this point. As a show of respect to you, to say. Now, I'm saying, Chair, and this is your own admission. In the last meeting, and I want to explain why you are in the state of confusion. In the last meeting, Honourable Chair,
you are insulting me, you are not addressing the issue. So I'm not going to allow you.
No, I withdraw. I withdraw to say you are in that state. Let me make this point, Honourable Chair.
And this is not the last meeting. This is this meeting. And this meeting is addressing the question whether or not there's a basis to hold an inquiry.
Okay, Chair, don't be afraid of the history and your own shapes. And let me make this point. In 2 weeks' time you said, according to your own opinion and judgment, you don't think that this body is an appropriate forum to listen to this matter.
That matter was addressed and settled. I'm not prepared to go to matters which were settled by the committee. I don't have the authority to change the decisions of the committee, so I'm not going to entertain that.
Well, don't be afraid of your own history and shadows. I'm saying to you, you said 2 weeks ago, you felt and you chose to abstain from voting along your ANC coalition, that you felt that this matter, you are too involved into it, and as a result you felt conflicted. And as a result of that, Honourable Chair, you preferred a different mechanism other than this one to proceed with this inquiry. Nonetheless, you have come to you chickened out from your initial stance.
Honourable Matthias,
and for that matter, Honourable Chair,
respect the rules of Parliament.
How can I respect when you don't respect?
You are out of order.
You don't want to listen to me.
I don't listen to people who don't respect the rules of Parliament. Honourable Sir, proceed.
No, a point of order, Chair.
I was raising
the point of order, Chair, because Honourable Matthias was part of this meeting as the meeting began. The issue that he's raising now, you adequately addressed it in your opening remarks, and therefore there's no basis for him to continue belaboring on that matter. Thank you very much.
Honourable Schwartz, can you proceed?
Thank you, Chair. Very briefly, I will submit
on a point of order.
And as I rise on a point of order,
I have not recognized you.
May I further rise on a point of privilege?
Honourable Mike.
Can you please grant me a right to speak, to rise on a point of privilege?
You can't speak. And rule
after I've made my submission.
You rose on a point of order. Now where I recognize Honourable Swart. Can you allow Honourable Swart?
Allow me to speak on a point of privilege and then rule after having listened to.
Okay.
Because of you being conflicted so much by your own admission, I request that you recuse yourself from this proceeding.
I rule you out of order. That matter was settled right at the beginning. Honourable Short, proceed.
Chair, thank you. Chair, I would submit that there is more than sufficient information on this letter read together with the annexes to substantiate
a inquiry chair, and that is the decision that we need to take. I would think that the analogy that is used of a judge would pertinently, if applied here, with the finding that is referred to in annexure, the judgment where there's a finding that the public protector acted in a disingenuous manner would amount to the justification. I'm not saying we are doing it now, but the justification of an inquiry. That in itself, Chair. So I would submit that if we were to rule here that these allegations in this letter plus the annexures do not form the basis of an inquiry would be grossly unfair, and I would urge you, Chair, to consider that fact. It's very important, Chair, because clearly we don't want further action to be taken against this committee, and it could well be taken. This decision to be taken on review. And I'm not saying from our side, but I'm just saying that it could be. So we need to apply our minds rationally, Chair. And I would say that I'd ask you firstly to rule whether the members have even read the annexures. Have they obtained the annexures? Secondly then, Chair, that on the basis of the information in this letter, there is enough to substantiate the decision to hold an inquiry. What the ambit of that inquiry is going to be is a separate issue. And that's the question you've asked us, whether there's enough on this letter to substantiate an inquiry. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Swart, you are saying, in your opinion, there is a basis to hold an inquiry. We have had many other members saying there's no basis. So maybe we have reached a stage where we should settle this matter.
Chair, may I just hasten the speaker's list? I'm very sorry.
No, sorry, Chair, just on a small point of order, Chair. Sorry, Chair.
No, I will exhaust my speaker's list. I'm saying there are two positions now. The first position is that there's no basis to hold an inquiry. The second position is that there's a basis. And I'm left only with three speakers, and then we'll take
Sorry, Chair, I've asked, could you rule, please, Chair? I'm not sure if the members...
I cannot rule on the preparedness or otherwise of the members. It is their business to know that when they come to this meeting, they prepare for the meeting.
But, Chair, the documents were not attached. They weren't attached to the letter, so how can the members decide on the issue?
The documents, as I said, are relevant to the discussion on the merits. Now we are acting on the basis of the referral, and that matter has been settled. Honourable Horn.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I agree with the Honourable Swart that we faced with a situation that this very morning we, on another matter, postponed dealing with the matter because members indicated that they were not in possession of hard copies of relevant reports. Yet, we sit here with a letter to which the Secretariat did not manage to send us all of the annexures. Now, be that as it may, the annexures indeed is in the public domain. And allow me firstly, Chair, to respond to what the Honourable Mpulwana said when he said that there is no basis to hold an inquiry because the public protector made, and I quote, a mistake. Now that, with all due respect, is what we, during an inquiry, must find. Because the Honourable Swart is quite correct in saying that what we are sitting with is an official finding by a judge on facts that the attempt of the public protector to pass off her remedial action as mere recommendations was disingenuous. We also sit with the knowledge that during her interview to be appointed, she was already asked about the implications of the so-called Nkandla judgment on the powers of the public
protector, and then she already communicated an understanding, as has been pointed out here today also by the Honorable Mahila, that the remedial action of the public protector is binding. So even if we are to accept that sometimes findings of our judges on appeal are set aside, I would argue that just on what is available information to us, it's not as simple as to say that the public protector made a mistake and are therefore to be excused. Furthermore, Jen, even if she made a mistake, there may be instances where a mistake on her part can constitute the incapacity and the incompetence on which basis she could be removed from office by Parliament. So ultimately, we are arguing here, and once again, it would seem that the majority of the members wants to put their spin on what happened, and on that basis decide that there's no basis. The Honourable Breitenbach was shut down when she read from the letter of referral, saying that that impugned the dignity of the public protector. But the reality is that if the allegations made by the Honourable Steenhuisen in the letter, that of overreach of powers, a poor understanding of her powers, misconduct in that she consulted with irrelevant role players before bringing out her report, if those allegations are ultimately found to be factual, there can be no argument made out other than that the public protector has made herself guilty of misconduct or incompetence, or that she ultimately, based on the fact that she has an inability to understand her powers and the law, do not have the capacity to be in the position she is. Members have argued here, quite ironically so, that she, by making erroneous findings in a report, must be excused because judges have also been found to have made mistakes. I say this is quite ironic, Chair, because in the past, when the previous public protector argued in this committee that she is virtually in the same position as a judge, she were vilified by the majority of members of this committee. It has been said here this morning, and it's in fact very relevant and true, that we are dealing with an important person. The Constitutional Court has said to us that this is an office of paramount importance. That, Jay, makes the duty on us not to just cast aside allegations like these without an investigation, so much more a heavy of a duty.
Let me summarize where we are.
No, I'm not finished yet. Yes. Lastly, Chief, I want to return by way of a circular argument to the whole issue of Judge Murphy finding. Yeah, I also need your protection.
You are going into the merits. That's why I want to guide the committee as to where we are before we proceed. We were faced with a question whether or not there is a basis for an inquiry into the fitness or otherwise of the public protector to hold office. Now, two positions have emerged. There are those who say there's a basis for such an inquiry. There are those who say There is no basis. Now, all that is happening now is people repeating themselves and then trying to get into the merits, which I'm not prepared to go get into.
Your Chair, allow me to finish, please. Protect me.
And also, I think we expect members of this committee to know the constitution of the country.
Yes.
The constitution of the country says that Chapter 9, heads of Chapter 9 institutions have the right to take remedial actions. And as members have said, some members have said, if you are aggrieved by the remedial action, you take the matter to court, and we are not that court. So I don't know what we're talking about now.
Yes, Chair, as you say, members should know the Constitution. As a matter of fact, the only Chapter 9 institution in terms of our Constitution who can take remedial action is the Public Protector. Other Chapter 9s have other recourse. But be that as it may, I'm not a law lecturer.
Point of procedure. We can't keep on repeating what we have said before because we want to actually push a particular position forward. Chairperson, you have clearly summarized the outcome of the discussion. You said there are those that are saying there is a basis for consideration of the matter. There are those that are saying there's no basis for consideration of the matter. I think you need to conclude by actually looking at what direction now we are actually taking in terms of what is the outcome of the discussion, rather than repeating and even going to take anything that is outside this committee for discussion.
No, Jay, I'm not finished.
Who are dealing?
How can we know what I'm about to say next?
Not dealing with the matter of the merits. So you are not dealing with the matter before us.
Can I just ask you, Chair, can you confirm to me whether the merits are there in your view and in your protection racket's view irrelevant to whether we can decide whether there's a case to be made out?
The merits are not irrelevant, but we are not dealing with the merits now.
Okay. So the merits are not irrelevant, but we're not to address them. No, I'm not done.
The body language, Chairperson, I think it needs to be taken care of.
Honorable Mlauzi.
The action goes hand in hand with the
Honorable Mlauzi, proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, Chairperson, we are here in terms also of the agenda that we have been requested as a committee that we must check whether the woman proceedings against the public prosecutor in terms of section 194 of the constitution. So when we check the constitution itself, section 194 1b, which says the public protector can be removed only if there is a finding from the committee of the National Assembly, which means that this is a relevant committee to get the findings. And the only way to get the findings is not to decide whether the inquiry is fit or not. It's to stage the preliminary inquiry, maybe. People must come and put evidence so that we must be sure that whether we have finding which can force the public procurement to be removed or not. Not just to take maybe irrational decision and say that there is no prima facie proof or there is no facts. But this section 194.1b, so to be complete, the findings of this committee, how to get that findings if we are not getting the inquiry to get the people to come and let the evidence before this committee.
We say the question was whether or not there is a basis for an inquiry, and there are two positions. One position says there is, the other says there is none. So the only way of settling the matter is to put the matter to a vote on that question. Because also, we have to bear in mind that anybody who is aggrieved by the remedial action of the public protector has recourse to the court. And Honorable Skene agents should have gone to the court to get the court to deal with the matter. So can I get those who are saying there is a basis for the, us to hold the inquiry to raise their hand? Can you, Sia, can you tell? There are four who say there's a basis for an inquiry. Those who say there's no basis for an inquiry.
But that is coming.
Yeah. Honorable members, let's respect this committee of parliament. Only people who are entitled to vote must vote. I set an example. How many are we?
Chair, on a point of order.
How many are we?
Chair.
Six members, which is the majority, say there's no basis to hold. Who? We didn't vote. Let's raise our hands again. Those who
sorry, Chair, before you vote,
no,
we just need...
No, we are in the process of voting.
Yeah, but Chair, alternative
no, we are voting. Those who say there's no basis for an inquiry, Honorable Majake, can you come? Six members say there's no basis for an inquiry, so this matter is closed. Thank you very much. We have the fact of the deputy, Honorable Mutapu, we are now dealing with the matter of the deputy public protector. Honorable members, there are allegations against the Deputy Public Protector. And the Deputy Public Protector has responded, and the letter has been circulated, and that matter has not been concluded, is ongoing. So it's actually premature for this committee to be dealing with matters that are under consideration by other institutions elsewhere. Can I hear from you? Do you want to interfere with the proceedings in other forums? Honorable Mutapu.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I don't think it would be proper, Chairperson, to deal with this matter because it is dealt with somewhere else, properly so. So I don't think it will be proper.
Jackie?
Honorable Chairperson, the matter has been put before us by the Democratic Alliance again to say that there has to be an investigation on the Deputy Public Protector for withdrawal of an investigation on four charges that relates to the Office of the Mayor, the Ekurhuleni. whatever information has been put for, before us does not have anything that actually endorses or confirms the allegation. For that matter, I would actually say that there is no substance in that communication, and the matter must be removed off the agenda of this committee. Maybe until such time that something to the contrary is actually tabled before us. And from information that you get generally in the public is that that matter is still being investigated. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, the matter was referred to us. The Deputy Public Protector responded. The matter is under consideration by another forum, and the proposal is that this matter cannot be entertained by us unless fresh information comes and we have a new referral to ourselves by the speaker. Anybody who takes a contrary view, Honourable Horn?
Yes, Chair, I confirm that it is in fact on record that the public protector has now confirmed that Section 7-9 notices have been issued and that the matter is ongoing. I think what we, however, is missing here, and I think we should focus on that a bit. When it suits members of the ANC, then the honour of members of this House must be upheld in all circumstances. Now, however, no, please let me finish now.
We are prepared as politicians to talk politics. But I think this time, Honourable Chair, you wanted to find out if one, a matter that is before another forum must be entertained by us. And I would expect that answer. However, in Nukuku Chai, oh, Kito Yaliti, Kankumeta, Tela Umisa.
And the two matters that are before us have been concluded. And I'm not prepared to open a discussion on matters that have been concluded by this committee now.
Okay. Can I now finish my argument?
No, on what? Because there's no new matter unless
the matter is on the agenda.
So is that by executive powers of yourself that you've now concluded this matter?
No, Honourable Lord, you have indicated that the notice has been issued.
Yeah.
So you were just adding information on something that all members know. All members know. They don't.
Please allow me to finish.
Finish?
Yeah. You know what? You've welcomed the Rules Committee of the City of Johannesburg. The only thing they could have learned today is how not to chair and conduct a meeting.
Now you have nothing to. If you want to politic, you can just go to the street and politic. But this is a committee of parliament. We don't politic. We deal with issues. Can we take a vote then? Those who say we should deal with matters that are serving before other forums.
No, Chair President, a point of order on the basis that the information that has been given to us is sufficient that there's an investigation going on. We wait for the outcome to interrogate it.
I was saying, in addition to what Honourable Mwabe is saying, that there is no need for a vote because there is consensus.
Some people have come here to play tricks, so you need to be accommodative of them because they think this is a playground. Thank you very much. The matter is closed.
Nobody here has contradicted what the public has said.
Anyone who wants us to vote on the matter that is closed,
Chairperson, no one wants any vote on the matter. We regard the matter as closed, and the matter is removed from the agenda of this committee.
The matter is removed from the agenda unless the speaker makes another referral on the basis of...
Chairperson, with all due respect, I don't think we the deliberations indicated that it's to be removed. We should obviously report to the House.
We will report to
the
House.
Yeah, but then it's not removed.
The matter belongs to another forum, is going on in that forum.
Are you going to repeat everything Pilana Mujahi says, or just some of the stuff?
Members, the two matters have been concluded, no basis for an inquiry on both the public protector and the deputy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The next meeting is adjourned.